try over here again. Pasuk Yud Dalid. It's on the screen if you have the if you're able to see it. It's on the screen. We're learning Parshas Vo'era. We're up to Sheni. The Rosh Eves Avosam Bnei Ruvain B'chor Yisrael. And these are names. Okay, so what does Rashi over here say? Let's just do the Targum. We'll have the Targum come and do in a circle. The Targum says, we're doing over here the Targum Unkelus. Why over here, for some reason, we have over here all the Targum? It's not really what I want. I want just the Targum Unkelus. Let's try to clear it. Targumim, here we go. Targum of Unkelus al Shemais. So here we go. Targum Unkelus says, Elaine Reshe, these are the heads. These are the family. Notice we're from the Mishpacha. The Targum is an unusual translation. He translates the word Mishpachas Ruvain as the seed, the word Zera. The word Zera is not the the word that you would expect. You would expect that we'll have to go take a look at this over here. Maybe this there are some other words. But right now it says this is the family of Ruvain. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Eile Roshe Vesavasan, Mitoch Shehuzkak, Liache Shifter Shal Levi, Ad Moshe. In the first Ali of the Parsha, it was necessary to trace the lineage of Levi all the way back until Moshe V'Aaron, Beshul Moshe V'Aaron, no more Mutar, Mitoch Shehuzkak, Liache Shifter Shal Levi, the Shevet of Levi, Ad Moshe V'Aaron, all the way back, all the way until Moshe V'Aaron. I mean, Miyachi, the Shevet of Levi, going forward, I should say. Going from Levi, going forward, all the way until Moshe V'Aaron. So, B'Shvil Moshe V'Aaron, Hischel Liyachasam, Derech Toldoisam, Mei Ruvain. We go all the way back to Ruvain. Uve P'sikta Rabasi Ruisi, Lefishe, Kine Tiram, Yaakov Avinu, L'Sholeh Shvatim Halalu, B'Shas Moisei, Chazer HaKosev, V'Yichasam Kan, Levadam, Loma Shechashuv Mei. Okay, so it says in the P'sikta is a Medrash, and the reason why we are enumerating the Yichus of Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi is because since these three Shvatim were not blessed by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu did not bless these three Shvatim, he gave these Shvatim Musa. Even though we know that Rashi tells in Parashat Vayechi, our Yaakov Avinu did bless them, he gave them a general klaliistic blessing. He put them all together in one general klal and blessed them all together, but he did not bless them individually. So we may be misled to believe that they are our second grade citizens. They do not have the second class citizens. They do not have the same status as everyone else in Klal Yisrael. Kamash Malan. That is the reason why here in Parashas Va'era, we're going to be miyaches them in order to show that do not be misled and think that they're going to be second class citizens because of their lack of blessing. These psukim put them back into the Klal. They're no different than anyone else. Why then did Yaakov Avinu not bless them? That's another story. But don't take that as a license to discriminate against these three Shevatim. You see, isn't it interesting that today discrimination is based on race, gender, based on, I don't know, that's basically it, race and gender. Anything else we discriminate against? We discriminate with money if you're rich.
Religion.
You're rich, or your religion. So we have religion, age.
Age,
religion, wealth, color, gender.
Gender, color,
and race. And here, look, in Klal Yisrael, the discrimination is not based on any of the above. It's based on, did our father bless you? If our father did not bless you, we couldn't care less how much money you have in the bank. We don't care about your male, your this, your that. What counts is, are you blessed? Did our father bless you, or he did not bless you? If you didn't get a blessing, then there's a possibility there will be discrimination. And in order to prevent that from happening, it was necessary for the psukim here in the beginning of the parashat in order to be miyaches these three shvatim specifically, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi, to show that no, don't discriminate against them. They are indeed blessed. The fact is, the pasuk gives them special mention. Let's review the Rashi one more time. Eli Rosh Eves Avos Mitoch Shusak Diachis Sifter Shol Levi Ad Moshe V'Aaron B'Shvil Moshe V'Aaron Hischil yachas and there's tolei sam meyuvin. I don't know what this means over here. I mean, it's a little bit strange. What is he saying over here? Rashi here is a little bit verbose. Let's read it a little slowly. Mitoich because shehu skak liyachet shivta shalevi ad Moshe Rabbeinu. We had to go from liyachet shivta of Levi all the way down from Levi down until Moshe Rabbeinu. Bishvil Moshe Rabbeinu. Ad Moshe Rabbeinu bishvil Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know, but something doesn't sit well with me. Something doesn't sound right over here. Obviously, I'm missing something very deep over here. It's like Nusach. Ad Moshe V'Aaron, Bishvil Moshe V'Aaron. And then they put a comma. Maybe the comma is in the wrong place. Ad Moshe V'Aaron. I think maybe Bishvil comma, Bishvil Moshe V'Aaron, Hischil Yachsam Derech Toldosam Meruvin. I think the comma is in the wrong place. I think over here in this text, they put the comma in the wrong place. Let me go take a look over here at this Ovachom Shehav in front of me, the Ma'at Sari, on this Pasuk Yud Dalid. Let me read what she says. Mitoch shusach liyaches shifta shel Levi ad Moshe V'Aaron. No, they put the comma in the same exact place. Look at that. B'shvil Moshe V'Aaron hischil yachsam derech toldar sam meruvin. I really don't understand. But basically over here is there are two different ways to be miyaches Moshe V'Aaron. When miyaches Moshe V'Aaron from their father, the grandfather, all the way back to Levi, and we're also miyaches them from Reuven, Shimon, Levi. That in essence is what Rashi is saying, something very, very deep. When a person has yichus, there are two different dimensions to yichus: vertical yichus and horizontal yichus. The vertical yichus is Moshe's father, Moshe and Aaron, who is their father. Their father was Amram. Who was Amram's father? Kohos. Who was Kohos's father? Levi. Who was Levi's father? Yaakov. Who was Yaakov's father? Yitzchak, and then it's Avraham. So we're looking here at Moshe V'Aaron. We're coming to trace their lineage vertically. Go all the way up. All the way up, all the way down. Go up to your father, Amram, your father's father, Kohos, your father's father, Levi, Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avraham. Then there's horizontal yichus, and that is when we go across. Who are you? You are Moshe V'Aaron. Where do you come from? Come from Shevet Levi. Oh, Shevet Levi. Well, let's first go in order. First comes Shevet Reuven, then comes Shevet Shimon. And then comes Shevet Levi. So you're the third Shevet. This is a horizontal yichus. Okay, can you imagine every time a person, it's true, also people go and they look at you, they meet you and say, oh, who are you? What's your name? Oh, who's your brother? And your older brother, and next brother, and the oldest brother. People do that. That's very common. Why do they do that? Because somehow people have a need to be nosy and see all the big picture. So some people, they don't care about the parents, the grandparents, the great. They don't care about that. But so what do they want to know about the brothers? Oh, so you're the fourth brother, you're the fifth brother, you have two older sisters, you have this sister and that. They miyaches you horizontally. And then some people, they don't care about that. Some people you meet in the street, oh, who are you? Who's your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather? Oh, they do a vertical yichus. Interesting. So here, the pasuk Rashi would appear. The Rashi is coming over here. Is that both? That's exactly what the pasuk is going to Moshe. And we're doing a horizontal yichus and a vertical yichus. We go to Moshe. We go to Reuven and Shimon, and we also go all the way back. Let's read the Rashi again for the third time. El Rosh Vesa Voisam Mitoch Shuluzkak Liyaches Shifta Shel Levi. We have to miyaches the Shevet of Levi ad Moshe the Aaron. We're taking Shevet Levi. And we have to go trace the lineage, the vertical lineage. So we're going to go all the way back up to Yaakov. B'shvil, once already we're going to be miyaches back to Yaakov, the vertical yichus, we might as well do the horizontal yichus. B'shvil, Moshe V'Aaron hischil yachsam derech toldosam meruvein. Once we're doing the vertical yichus, let's do the horizontal yichus. Levi is number three. And there's a Reuven in Shimon, that's number two. Okay, that's the Pshat. Now we have a Pesikta. Rabosi, the Psikta Rabosi. What we have to one day learn what all these Psikta. I actually have a sefer ready to go. I just need some time. Every day there's so many tirdas. There's no end to the tirdas. It's getting worse and worse. Baruch Hashem, all the different obligations. Psikta Rabosi. We see Lufishe. Kinteram Yaakov Avinu L'shlosh Shvatim Alol L'Bashas Moisav. Yaakov Avinu went and he gave him Musar. He was Mekanter. He started out. It's a very interesting word. Little, very big in the Mudaik on different words in the morning. Kinteram. What does that mean, Shekinteram? Kinteram, it means he provoked them. Really? Is that what Yaakov Avinu, is that the right word? If you were running this Rashi, if you were running this idea, Mr. Rappaport, I don't think you would use the word Shekinteram. I don't believe that Mr. Aaron Rappaport, when he would be writing this Rashi in his own words, he would not select that Hebrew word. He would say, Lefi she kishabircho, the Shvatim, he didn't give them a bracha. He left them out. You say it in a very delicate way. But to say the word shekinteram, kinteram has a connotation of provoke. They provoke.
He translated here in my the article, chastised.
That's even worse. That I don't like that. I take issue with that. Although I'm a loyal diehard of Art Scroll, I don't like that word. Chastise them? He didn't chastise them. He provoked them. Kinteram is not chastise. We have to call up the editor of the Art Scroll and get into his mind to understand what put that into his mind. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm always usually 99.3% of the time I'm wrong. The
but
other
time did he call especially Shimon Levy and Tez, you provoke.
That's not called chastisement.
Whatever
it is, that's not kinteram. Whatever it is, go say the pshat in the pasuk is that's not the translation of the word kinteram. Kinteram is not liaser. Chastisement is always a translation of yisurin, liaser. The word mekanter means to provoke. I don't know. Let's leave whatever. So, but it's a very, but whatever you want to say, it's a very interesting. Rashi would go and use this, even this idea, and he's saying that Yaakov in Rashi obviously is right, obviously, and Rashi is coming to give you the upshot of the brachas that by Yaakov Avinu not giving these three shvatim a blessing, in essence, Yaakov was provoking them. He wasn't chastising them. That's another word. I mean, Rashi could have used the word if he wanted to. Rashi is telling us a yisoid. He provoked them.
Doesn't provoke mean I want a response out of you?
But yeah, it does.
Somebody,
it does.
I push. What was Yaakov provoking them to do?
I'm not the one who wrote the word Shekinteram. Rashi is the one who wrote the word Kim. Unless I'm totally ignorant, I'm translating the word wrong. The word Mekanter, in my very limited vocabulary, appears to be provoke. Not chastise. Chastise is not the word for the word Shekinteram. That's the word for liaser. Liaser. Yisurin means chastisement. Kinteram means provocation. Provoke. I don't know. Let's go further. This is just a thought. Shekinteram yachav l'shloy shvodan lo l'bashas moysa chazakos v'yichasam kan levadam loymar. What's the message of yachasam individually? To reveal shechashuvim, they are distinguished. These by Hakadosh Baruch Hu single you out. Hashem is making a statement that you are chashuvim. Now let's see the targum again. Now we get appreciation. What is the targum coming to be in this pasuk? Ilin reishay ves avho soin. These are the heads of the. We're going now back to Ruvain. We're now beginning horizontal yichus. The beginning of the parasha was the vertical yichus. Now we're going to the horizontal yichus. Okay, beginning of the parasha. What do we have over here? No, maybe it's not. I think maybe it's not. I think it's referring to the beginning of Shemos. The beginning of Shemos, we had the yichus. We had the vertical yichus. Now we're going into Ruvain. We're going into the horizontal yichus, and he says over eli reisha the heads of base avo hosoin. Okay, b'nei Ruvain b'chor the Yisrael the b'chor. Elaine, these are Zarayas Ruvain. Now, the word Zarayas does not appear to be the correct word. And let me give a quick peek in the Ma'at Tzori and what he says here on Pasuk Yud Dalit. Okay, Ma'at Tzori Va'era. Where am I holding you in the right place? Shani, yeah, this is the right place. Yud Beis. He totally skips it. How could that possibly be? Totally skip this? Yep. Nothing. Not even any comment. Whatever. All right. What can you do? You win some and you lose some. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is Uvnei Shimon Yimuel V'yamin V'yoyi V'tzach V'Oad. You know who Oad is? He's a big singer in Eretz Yisrael. He comes to America also. You like Oad? Some people love him. V'Uvnei Shimon Yimuel V'yamin V'Oad. It says that when I first saw Oad, I said, oh, now I see. Now he's a real name. You ever hear someone by these names? Yamin, Yochin, Tzoychar. You know someone of Tzoychar? I don't know about you. I don't know any Tzoychars. So I was very excited. There was a guy, is a singer. His name is Ohad. He's a very nice person. I actually dealt with him personally during COVID. Torah time did a chizuk event. And they had all these celebrities. And I got to chat with them. To get him whipped into shape. To get ready for the performance. You know what I did? I'll tell you what I did. You know what I did? I sent him a text. And I told him, we had sent out a whole, I wasn't the only one, a letter. Basically, they did like an event of chizuk. And basically, they sent out, as we began, COVID was very bad, that people were dying. And we warned all the performers, please be aware, on the webpage, that people are going to be seeing you perform on that same webpage, just above you and just below you. There are going to be death announcements. People have died. Rabbanim. And therefore, keep that in mind. And when you do your thing, it should be done with a dosage of, capture the severity of the moment of what's going on. And it was. It was really powerful. It was really, really like, the mood was a very powerful mood, and they were very successful in what they did. It was Chodesh Nisan, right before Pesach. 3,000 people were watching for 4 hours, even more, 3,000 people, and everyone that was doing this was working from home. Everyone was working from home, total lockdown. All the performers and all the staff from Torah Anytime doing their thing. And the whole thing was done over WhatsApp and over logging in. And it was a very powerful event. Okay, why am I telling you this? Because I'm getting lost in my thoughts. Ohad. Now let's see over here what it says over here in Unkelus. Unkelus over here says, Tat Unkelus, Uvnei Shimon. Okay, there's not much Targum here. Over here. Uvnei Shimon, Yimul, V'yamun, God, V'yachim, Tzachos, Shabbat, Akhnanas, Ilin, Zar, Asa, Shimon, the same exact thing. And what does Rashi say on this pasuk? There is no Rashi. Pasuk tes zayin the elish shmos bnei Levi. Now we've done Ruvain Shimon Levi. Now we come to the elish shmos bnei Levi l'soloisam. Gerish and kahas. He's our man. He's our man. Kahas. Umarari ushnecha Levi sheva ushleishem ashana. He lived for how long? He lived for 137 years. How come he's the only one that gets mention of the years? Is that interesting? Only Levi. Why Levi? Who's asked that kasha? Rashi asked that kasha. Ushnechai Levi. Lomanim ushnechai Levi. It did not count the years of Reuven. It did not count the years of Shimon. So why are we counting the years of Levi? Lomanim ushnechai Levi. Lodiyah kami yunei hashibut. The answer is a purpose. The purpose is to know how long the Shibut of Mitzrayim lasted. Shekozman shechman ashvat and kayem lo hoya shibut. Shenemar vayam asyosev v'chol echav all of his brethren. The Acharkach Vayakim El Chodesh V'Levi Herach Yamim Al Kolam. Levi lived the longest. Levi was Zoicha to live the longest from all of the brothers, and therefore that's why we count, because we need to know the calculation of when the Shul began. It was only after Levi died. He was 137 years. Is there any time on this? The Ilan Shemas Levi Levi L'Sul Dosayin Gerish Nekasim Rari Shnechay Levi Meo Uslasin Shajin 137 years. Notice, this is a small point, this is something nothing new, we did this many times, is that in Hebrew, in the pasuk, when you want to tell a person how old they are, you start with the smallest number, 7, then you go to the tens, ushleishim, and then you go to the hundreds, umeya shana. Targum, it's the opposite. Meya, 100, 30, and 7. Why is that? Targum, for the same money, could have reversed the order. Why did the Targum put the order with the larger numbers first and the small numbers? And the answer is because that's exactly what a translation is. In other words, it's a different perspective. When a person looks at his life, how does the average person look at his life? It's interesting, you know, there are different, you look at yourself differently for different purposes. When the average person, when they look at their life, they don't look at big numbers. They challenge themselves, what have I done the last 5 years, the last 2 years, the last, and then they go back, okay, what have I done the last 30 years? Whatever have I done the last 100 years of my life? Okay, people, when you look at yourself, when you challenge yourself, you have to ask yourself, I can't speak for anyone, but you challenge yourself, have you wasted your whole life? I don't think people, in the thought process of challenging themselves, if they spent their time wisely, the first question you ask yourself is not, how have I spent my last 100 years? How have I spent my last 30 years? How have I spent my last 10 years? You don't do that. You look back, did I waste time today? Then you realize, you know, today wasn't such a good day. Well, what about this past week? Maybe this does not represent my whole life. How was last week? The last 7 days? Not too good. Okay, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe at least the last month. No. You go backwards. Yet the Torah doesn't do it like that. The Torah looks at the big picture. 137. The translation, to a degree, presents a different perspective. Trying to suggest this is a chiddush. And maybe bring it out like this. Every Shabbos we learn the Haftarah. What is the purpose of the Haftarah? That's not a good question to ask. There are many, many functions that the Haftarah serves. But one thing that comes out very often, not all the time, but very, very often, is we have a selection from the Nevi'im that touches upon a major theme of the parasha. But when you study that theme in the Nevi'im, it's a completely different perspective of what we learn in the parasha. The parasha presents something, you have a story, and we look at it in a certain way. But everything is subject to interpretation. Everything depends on how you look at it. And when you read the Haftorah and you find a very similar concept and story in the Nevi'im, there in that context, it has a very different perspective. And it makes you think, wait a minute, what about the parasha? Did we really learn the parasha correctly? With the parasha, the way it was presented, the situation, is that the only way to look at something? It gives you perspective. And I want to suggest that that is also one of the major goals of the Targum. It's not just to translate. It's not just to give you deeper insight into what exactly it says in the Pasuk. But at times, the Targum puts on a different hat. And what it says in the Pasuk is it's super obvious. You don't need me. You don't need the Targum to go and give you any insight, because the Psukim are just very straightforward. And you can translate it yourself. So what then is my role? My role then is to provide you perspective. If the Torah is tracing the lineage of a person, age, and telling you that breaking down his life, he was 100 years old. Wow, that's a long time to live. Plus, there's another 30 years. And in addition, there was another 7 years. That's what it says. The Targum says, let me give you a different perspective. The person, he was 7 years, the last 7 years of his life. And then there were the last 30 years of his life. And there were hundreds. Or maybe it's the other way around. Who says that's the order? Maybe the first thing is, we'll go, I mean, you can go each way. When we calculate a person's life in the Torah, are we calculating from when he was born going forward, or are we calculating going backwards? Are we calculating when it says in the Pasuk, these are the years of Levi? He was seven, he was 7 years, he was 30 years, and he was 100 years. Does that mean, that where does the seven go? Where does the 30 go, where does the 100 go? Do we start, if he's 137, so we're going to drop him down to 27 years old. To 37 years old. We're going to, the last 100 years of his life. From 37 to 137. Okay, done. Now let's now analyze 30 years. What did this person do from the year 30, from he was 37 years, from the year that he was 7 years old until he was 37 years old? And then let's discuss his childhood. Is that the pshat? Or maybe no. Maybe when we look at a person, let's first discuss the last 7 years of his life. And then let's
compare this to Sarah. When the Torah is Swahi Achai Sarah, there Rashi makes a drash at each level. Is that what you're trying to say, Rabbi Levin?
No, because that's Rashi. That's Rashi. I'm focusing on the Torah. You're right. See, Rashi. That's also how Rashi gets involved there. Rashi sees immediately what the Targum's agenda is, and Rashi will either fiercely defend the Targum or rip him apart. Rashi, says Mea Shana. First, it says 100 years, and Rashi says when she was 100, like she was when she was 20, just like when she was 20, there's no chait. So too, when she was 100, there was no chait. And then it says there's 7. When she was 20, she was like 7. Just like Liyoifi, just like 7 years old is beauty, so too at 20 she was beautiful. Okay, so what is Rashi there trying to do? You have to think about it. I don't know. You have to go think about what is Rashi there trying to do. Is Rashi responding to the Targum? The Targum there probably also does the same exact thing, but the Targum reverses the order. And over here, we're going over here, this pasuk over here, the Targum over here is reversing it. There's no need for the Targum to reverse the order. He could have just translated the words literally, as it says in the pasuk, Ushnei Chayei Levi was Sheva Utlasa Umo'oshnin. There's no need to reverse. He's translating the words. Why is he doing that? It would appear that the Targum over here, I'm suggesting to you, there's many functions in the Targum. The Targum sometimes comes to simply translate words that we would otherwise not know what they mean. Other times the Targum is telling us, no, don't translate this the standard, run-of-the-mill translation. You can't do that because of the context. We have to go and we have to make adjustments to what the translation really means. And sometimes you don't need the Targum either or. You don't need the Targum to translate. You don't need the Targum to go and tell you don't make a mistake. You need, so what's my job then? My job then is to give you perspective. Everything is the way you look at it. If there's someone standing at the bima and you're on the right side of the shul and someone asks you, where is he standing? He's standing to the left. And if someone's on the left side of the shul and you ask that person, who is he standing? The guy at the bima is on the right. The contradiction, how could it be the person on one side of the shul and one says that this fellow is on the right and one is on the left? It's an open contradiction. No, it's not. It all depends where you are standing relative to the subject. So when you talk about a person's life, how do you describe their life? Well, it depends. It depends where you stand relative to this person. Are you a younger person? Are you an older person? Are you his parents, his grandparents? Are you his children? What is the situation? What is the relevance of the question? That's what the Targum is doing. He's giving you a different perspective on something that is fundamental to every living creature, how you calculate your time on this world. Okay, I think I got my point across. Let's go further. Pasuk with no Rashi. Now we go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. B'nei Gershon Livni V'shmi V'lemishpachaysam. Okay, so there's no Rashi here either. We didn't. Let's go back. You're right, Tez Zayin. You're right. Did I skip? You're right, I'm sorry. Tez Zayin. U'shnei Chayei Levi. We spent time on this. His brothers. By the way, who died first? Yosef died first. How old was Yosef when he died? 110 years old. Last pasuk in Chumash Bereishis. Why did Yosef die first? Because he was Nog Berabonus. He was a Rav. The Rav. He wasn't a real. What does it mean he was a Rav? It means he authority. Authority kills people. It's a very frightening concept. Rabbonus doesn't mean a rabbi, a religious leader. It means authority. A person that's like Rabbonus, authority somehow has the ability to cause the person to die prematurely. Chazal say this. How does that work?
I thought he died prematurely because he heard 10 times his father referred to and he lost that. I think Rashi brings that down. No?
Could be.
120.
It could be. There's another Chazal though that says black and white. I don't know where it is. It says that he died young because he was nog berabonus. I think be'achiv over his brothers. What you're saying is either these are two sides of one coin. Either the rabbonus reflects that idea that he hears them say his father, our father, your servant, and he did not make a macha, so that caused him to lose some years. And it can possibly be interpreted that is the equivalent of being noig rabbonus over his brothers. He showed authority, and the authority demanded that they speak like that. Or you can say they have nothing to do with one another. These two concepts of hearing them say about his father that he's your servant has nothing to do with the other vart of rabbonus. And either they both together contributed to a premature death, or the two Mamari Chazal conflict and they disagree. So either when it comes to Medrash, either you're gonna have to go and be creative and understanding that the two Midrashim are saying the same concept in different words, or the two different things are different but they complement one another, or at times we have no choice but to say, due to our limited understanding, is that the two Mamari Chazal conflict. And there is no reconciliation. And the only thing you can say is they don't agree. In the Quran. Alright, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is the Gersh Living Vishim Vishim, Bnei Kohas, Amun Vizalchem Vizil, Shnecha Yikohas, Sholosh, Ushloshim, Umashan. Oh, so why do we know how old he is? The answer we gave before is not going to go here and tell us why the cost was 133 years. 133. Let's go to the Rashi. Rashi, let's really go to the Targum first. Targum, we said something important over here. Wait a minute. So he's doing exactly the same thing they did before. Whatever the pasuk says, he does that. The pasuk says first 3, 30, 100, he has 100. 33, sitting like before. Okay, what does Rashi say on this pasuk? Rashi, Ushnechai Kohas, Ushnechai Amram. So now we count Kohas, and we're going to count also Amram. Amram is going to be the pasuk Chaf, but not up to there yet. And what does he say over here? Mecheshvon Zeon, Melein, Al Moshe, Ben Yishol, Arba, Yoshana, Shal, Markasim, Shaloi, Be Eretz, Mitzrayim, Lovado, Hoyu, El, Abiyam, Shnol, Yitzchak, Shalei, Kohas, Miyerde, Mitzrayim, Hoyo. Kohas entered into Egypt, Chashav kol Shinoisav, Ushnois Amram, Ushmoinim Shomoishal Simsoim, Arba Meos Shana, Maharbe Shonim, and besides the fact, Nivloim Labonim Bishne Havis. So he's telling us of Yiraj, he's telling us a very important principle. The reason why we have a calculation for Amram and for Kohas, Amram we did not yet learn yet, is in order to teach us a principle that when it says that Yodot Heda, Kiger, it does not mean 400 years in their exile. It does not mean that. There has to be a different calculation, because how do we know it cannot mean that? Because Gahas was one of the people who came into Egypt. Now let's make believe land that Gahas was born the day before they went to Egypt. Make believe. He was probably a lot older than that. Let's make believe. He was born the day they entered into Egypt. How long did Kohath live? 133. Let's make believe that Kohath died on the day that Amram was born. Kohath was his wife was pregnant and he died. So he died 133. And now who was born? Amram was died. So how old was Amram? Amram lived for 137. So 137 plus 133 is 270. Did I do that right?
Yes.
Okay, 270. How long was Moshe when Moshe left Egypt? 80 years old. So let's make believe that Amram died on the day that Moshe was born. So from 270 plus 80 is 350. And that's also, that number is an exaggeration, because certainly Amram and Moshe overlapped, and certainly Kohath overlapped with Levi. What am I saying? Kohath overlapped with Amram, and Amram overlapped with Moshe. Who knows? Maybe Moshe, so his grandfather. I mean, you have to make the calculations. I don't know the calculation. I mean, make the calculations. So whatever the calculations are, in the worst scenario, if you want to be marked to the extreme, what's the most extreme number you can possibly have? 350. And it's probably a lot less than that. It says in the Pasuk, we're going to be in Egypt for 400 years. In the most extreme scenario, we were in Egypt for at most 350 years. So how do you go from 350 to 400? The answer is, obviously, that Hashem says 400 years. It doesn't mean in Egypt. It means in all of the places where they were in Galus, including the land of Canaan. Because the land of Canaan was not yet in our possession. We did not yet have a hold on the land. And therefore, it was not considered ours. We were gerim. Ger yeh zaracha bi'eretz lo'ilohem. That includes what took place in the land of Canaan. And the calculation, as we know, Lamaskana refers to the moment when Yitzchak was born. The moment that Yitzchak was born, that's going to go, Zaracha, your child, your children, Yitzchak, from the moment that he's born until the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be 400 years. And that was only, in essence, really, we know that we're in Egypt for 210 years. Which means it was 190 years it was fulfilled Ger Yezarach in the land of Canaan. That is why it is necessary for us to know the dates of Amram and Kohath. So Lamaskana, there are three dates given here in these psukim that we learned today. They are the dates of Levi. That's number one. Number two is Kohath. And number three is Amram. Why? So the answer is the first one we need to know in order to be miyaches. The numbers for Levi we need to know in order to know when the shibut started, the servitude, the slave labor started. Because as long as one of them was alive, one of the shibut was alive, it would not start. And the second two of Kohath and Amram, we need to know their ages in order to know the halacha, to figure out, to derive that we were not in Egypt for 400 years. And the Gezerah, Ger Yezaracha, the Eretz Lelechem, includes for 190 years, Eretz Canaan.
He has a footnote here in my edition, that if you'll compare it to Yudbeish and Parshas Boy, Pasuk Mem, that Rashi is a lot more detailed to exactly what you just said, Rabbi. You hit it on the mark, really, I'll give you credit. You hit it on the mark. Exactly what you're just saying about, he includes even a time of Hebron, there's a whole Rashi there. That pair, Perkut based Pasuk Mem.
Where? In which parasha?
Parsha's book,
coming up. Okay. Alright, I probably just that's what I'm saying from memory, from learning about Chumash Rashi. Alright. We're gonna stop here. Thank you very much for coming. We'll continue tomorrow. All the best, everyone. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. Be well, everyone.
You too.
Thank
you. Bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Be well. Good night.